Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Frances Brown, and welcome back to Candid, a podcast by Swatch and AMDA. Hi, everyone. So I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. It was so much fun to record. And it was kind of just me rambling. I mean, what's new? That's literally all I do is go on and on. So I'm sorry about the length of this episode. But before we get into the hustle and bustle of New York City and what it's been like for me these last 3 weeks, I want to do our fashion icon of the week and our quote of the week. So our fashion icon is none other than the iconic Marilyn Monroe. She has been all over the news lately, especially after Kim Kardashian wore her famous gown to the Met Gala. And she's kind of just been at the forefront of my mind. I listened to a podcast a few weeks ago. I mean, surprise, surprise. I feel like I literally listened to every podcast in the world. But they did an episode on Marilyn, several episodes. It's The Badlands. If you need any podcast recommendations, that is the one I recommend the most. It is the most interesting, insightful podcast that I've ever listened to. The production is incredible. The storytelling is incredible. I love to be entertained. So if you like to be entertained while you're listening to a podcast, listen to that one. It is so good. But they did an episode about Marilyn and learning about the background of her life and everything that she accomplished and who she was so eye-opening. I had no idea the things that she went through and the thoughts that she had and how strong of a woman she was and what a force. I mean, everyone knows Marilyn Monroe. She's this symbol that's kind of decorated time. She's such an icon, both in film, in fashion, just in the world. She is just a huge representation of American culture, of Hollywood. You know, she's been a part of the zeitgeist for years, for decades. And the fact that she died almost 60 years ago and is still making headlines is unimaginable. I mean, what a level of fame, of impact that she's still on the cover of magazines. CR Fashion Book just released these editorials of Marilyn wearing digitally created designs. They put her in Miu Miu and all of this modern fashion. And it genuinely, it's incredible how far technology has come that they were able to do this. But it is really interesting. But it also just makes you think, like, what a force that she's still such an impactful person in the fashion industry. I mean, I'm sure everyone has seen the debate on Kim wearing her gown and this and that. And it kind of just, she's been on my mind. So I thought she'd be the perfect fashion icon. I mean, everyone knows Marilyn, but Marilyn actually has such an interesting life story. She was born as Norma Jean and she was married at 16. And it's crazy that that was kind of the expectation back then. You had to have a husband to be someone, to participate in the world. And when World War II started, she actually worked in a factory. And that's kind of where she was discovered. Someone was going around taking pictures of women in the workforce, I think to use it as propaganda, to encourage women to get up and to work while the war was going on, to contribute to the war effort. They took her picture, and it's kind of how she was discovered. And first it was modeling, and then she obviously entered the film industry and ended up divorcing her husband. And he told her, he was like, you either do this acting thing, you keep doing this, or you quit, or we're going to get a divorce. And she said, you know what? My agents want me to be single anyway, because it's easier for me to get cast in roles. And so then they got divorced. And I'm like, what a queen, what queen behavior. She was so ambitious and so determined to pursue her career and to be successful and to be someone. And she was such a serious actress. She was so serious about the fact that she wanted to be taken seriously. And I've said serious like 10 times. But she wanted people to recognize her as a businesswoman, as a real actress with real talent. And she worked so hard. She took so many acting classes. And there was a story in the podcast about how, you know, at the end of the workshop or the school or whatever, she had like a final performance. Everybody gave a monologue as their final performance. And the rule in this studio is that no one claps. It's kind of a very serious business setting. You don't clap when someone's done with their monologue, but everybody stood up. She literally got a standing ovation because it was that incredible. And I loved that. And Marilyn started with nothing and then became something. She had a stutter for a lot of her life and then went on to become one of the most iconic, remembered actresses of all time. And we all know her from her white dress or her iconic blonde bob or her red lip. But she was so much more than a face, so much more than a figure. And something that really stuck out to me about her was this story about she was walking with someone in Hollywood, not in Hollywood, in New York City. And this was Marilyn's personal photographer. And he talks about how he'll never forget this day because him and Marilyn were walking in New York City and just having a stroll. She loved New York, fun fact, because she didn't get noticed as much in New York as she did in Hollywood. She kind of felt like she could blend in with everyone and kind of be a no one. And she loved it. So they were walking down the street and her personal photographer turns to her and she says, "Do you want to watch me become her?" And he said, yes. And then immediately he says that she just turned something on in herself that was like magic. And she just became Marilyn. And all these cars started slowing down. People were turning their heads, breaking their necks to look at her because all of a sudden they recognized that it was Marilyn Monroe. And she didn't even change anything about her appearance. She didn't change her clothes. She just became her. And what a force. The fact that she literally, and that just proves that energy is real. You know, all she did was say, "I'm going to be Marilyn Monroe right now." And then she was. And she is such an inspiring life story. Obviously, it ended in tragedy, but what a testament to her talent, to her fame, to her hard working spirit that 60 years after her death, she's still such a huge piece of American culture. And I loved learning about her. And that podcast is so good. They do an episode on Judy Garland, on Brittany Murphy. So many good stories. So if you love to get a little story in your podcast, definitely listen to the Badlands. But the quote of the week is actually also from Marilyn Monroe. Because I feel like there's just too much with Marilyn. We have to give her a quote. And she says that we should all start to live before we get too old. Fear is stupid. So are regrets. No regrets, girls. I love this because it's true. Think about all the things in your life that you've said no to or that you've given up on because they were scary. Because at first it was like, oh, absolutely not. Like, that's too much. I can't do it. But you know what's worse is looking back years later, days later, weeks later, hours later, and thinking, what would have happened if I did it, if I went for it, if I stepped out of my comfort zone and I jumped into that situation or I said yes. Say yes more. Yes opens up this huge door of opportunity that a lot of the times you can't get back. And Marilyn said yes a lot. And she stood up for herself. And she went for what she wanted. Even when people were telling her no, even when people weren't taking her seriously, she worked hard. And she enlisted in an acting academy and wanted so desperately to be taken seriously in her profession. And it's such an inspiring story for women in that time. And it's inspiring now, 60 years later, that hard work does get you somewhere and ambition gets you somewhere and dreaming gets you somewhere. And it's such a great reminder, something to keep at the forefront of your mind, that fear is stupid and it's designed to protect you a lot of the time. Your first instinct is fear. And sometimes you are in a dangerous situation, but 9 out of 10 times you aren't. It's just holding you back because human beings naturally are afraid of the unknown. We were kind of designed to live in this fight or flight state. Hundreds of years ago, we were fighting against nature, and you were worried about what you were going to eat next. How am I going to find food? How am I going to find shelter? Those basic needs. And now that those basic needs are met for most people, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about wild animals eating you or harvesting your own food or hunting and gathering, anything like that. So our next reaction is to fear other things. So whether that be meeting new people or trying to get a job, that's the fear we have now. And it kind of can be all consuming. But you have to remember that a lot of the time, the thing that you're afraid of is, one, being rejected. Two, being told no, being embarrassed. And embarrassment isn't real. It's not. It's just not a real thing, because the only way embarrassment can be real is if you decide to be embarrassed. So if you simply decide, I'm not going to be embarrassed, then it doesn't exist. So I love this quote, because something that I'm definitely trying to work on is to stop being afraid. There's not really that much to be afraid of. I mean, obviously there are some things that are scary in the world right now, but on a day-to-day basis, don't let fear consume you, because the only thing worse than fear is the what ifs, the what could have happened. You know, if I had done this, if I had said yes that one time, if I had gone that place, if I had reached out to this person, that's exhausting and that's haunting. And fear lasts just a moment or just an hour, but those regrets will last forever. You know, so I encourage everyone, say yes to something today, even if it's something small. But we love Marilyn, and she's such an incredible person, such an interesting person to learn about. She was so dynamic. There's so many parts of her life that we aren't really shown in the media. And she's much more than a fashion icon or a film icon or a movie star. She was an incredible, insightful, intelligent, hardworking, inspiring woman. So now we're going to get into the episode. I hope you guys enjoy listening to me talk about New York City once again, but it's not going to stop anytime soon. I just have to warn you, because I am going to be here for another 5 weeks. So prepare yourself, but I hope you enjoy. Hi everyone. We are live from New York City. I'm so happy to be back for this episode. My life has been a tornado recently, and I'm so sorry that last week I didn't have an episode, but you guys, I had the most insane experience at the airport in LaGuardia, and then had another insane experience at the Atlanta airport. I went home last weekend for a wedding, and it was just, you know, the most chaotic entrance back into the great state of Alabama, let me tell you. But I'll get into that later. But I'm so happy to finally be back. I love recording this podcast. It kind of feels like a little therapy session. And I love telling you guys about New York City. You guys, I've almost been here 3 weeks, which blows my mind. These weeks have flown by so fast, but have simultaneously been the longest weeks of my life. And living in New York City has been the most surreal experience, let me tell you. And it kind of has this parallel to being a freshman in college. I genuinely feel like I'm in my post-grad era. You're starting over. You're starting from scratch. I moved to a city where I don't know anyone, and I'm kind of walking into the biggest, busiest, craziest city in the world as a 20-year-old, and I'm kind of navigating that. I'm navigating how to make friends, how to do well at work, how to balance work and life and seeing everything and adapting to this lifestyle that I'm so not used to. And I've talked to so many people about how different this is from Alabama, which is expected, obviously, but it's just a complete, New York is the antithesis of Alabama. And it's in a good way though, I promise. But I was talking to my friend on the phone yesterday and I was telling her about how living in New York is so different than visiting it. And that's, living in New York is something that you can't prepare for. You can't watch YouTube videos. You can't make lists of restaurants you want to see or things you want to visit. You can't look up a how-to guide on how to live here. And I've kind of been reminded that that's life in general. You can't plan for things. You can't plan how you're going to feel or what it's going to be like until you do it yourself. And the greatest teacher is experience. And I feel like I'm getting so much experience, not only in the professional aspect, but also just in the life aspect. There are things you can only learn with age and seeing them with your own eyes and doing them with your own body that you can't prepare for. And so while I thought I was prepared to live in New York City to an extent, I wasn't that naive. I didn't think I was just going to hop into the city and, you know, be the star of the show. But I kind of thought that it would be an easier adaptation. And it hasn't been. It's been simultaneously the most fun 3 weeks of my life and also the most challenging. And that's to be expected. I'm literally from Alabama, first off. So I have no experience with public transportation or with random people talking to you on the street or with, you know, the other day I went to meet a friend for dinner in the East Village. And I was getting back on the subway, which I got lost walking to my subway station about 6 times. So that added about 45 minutes to the trip, just me walking. And then I get to the subway station and I'm just standing there, you know, and masks are optional in New York City right now. And I do wear mine. I try and wear mine on the subway, but I was just in the subway station, like on the platform. I was just waiting for my train to come and it was taking forever. So I had it off because I was sweating from, you know, walking 10 miles because I'm not, if you know me, you know, like I'm not a walker. I am now, but in the past, I'm not like the biggest fan of, oh my God, let's walk. You know, I'm more of a rider. I like to be a passenger in a car and get places, but my perspective has completely changed. But anyway, so I was standing on the platform, you know, minding my business, listening to music, what I usually do. And this man comes up to me and I'm like, oh, here we go. Because I swear the people I've talked to, I'm like the only one that I know that constantly has the most interesting experiences on the subway in New York. And I was standing there and this man comes up to me and he asked me for change. And sadly, I didn't have any because if somebody does ask me for change, like I will give it to them if I have it, but I never carry cash. I'm going to start trying to though, but I don't carry cash. So I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't have any. I would give you some if I had some, but I don't have any. And I asked him if he had Venmo and he didn't have Venmo. So, you know, what can you do at that point? And so then he starts talking to me and he's not speaking English, but he's also not speaking another language. Because I can recognize different languages pretty well. I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I know if somebody's speaking Spanish or somebody's speaking French or, you know, Japanese or Korean, but I just genuinely did not know what he was saying. It's almost like he was speaking in gibberish. And we were standing there and he was talking to me for about 10 minutes. And I mean, it was, I genuinely didn't know what to do. I was like, you know, nodding my head, smiling. I'm like, yes, like, tell me your truth, King. Like, I don't know what you're saying, but like, go ahead. And I did feel a little uncomfortable. And that is the theme of my life in New York City. If you're preparing to live here, prepare to be uncomfortable. And I kind of love being uncomfortable. I've learned to love it because as soon as I feel this sort of discomfort, like, you know, crawling out of your skin feeling, that's how you know that you're supposed to be doing something a lot of the time. And I don't mean like feeling unsafe or feeling in danger, which you'll feel that too in New York City, but I mean just feeling like unsettled. But it's honestly a sign to me now that I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm where I'm meant to be and I'm doing something that I should be doing because it originally made me uncomfortable. That's kind of like a sign. It's a go ahead. Like, you're doing something right if you're not uncomfortable. And I was uncomfortable in that situation. But if I could be the person that he needed to talk to for those 10 minutes, let me be that person. You know, he wasn't dangerous. He wasn't harmful. So, but you do kind of have to keep your eyes out, because I'm not saying that everybody's dangerous, but especially being a young girl in New York City, you kind of have to watch out for things that a lot of people don't have to watch out for. And not knowing where you're going just adds a little bit of, you know, spice into that mix. But so let's get into my flight story, you guys. So I was trying to fly home from LaGuardia. So, you know, I get off of work on Thursday and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to pay for an Uber. Ubers are so expensive. So I was like, you know what? Let's walk. Not obviously walk to LaGuardia. That would literally take me 3 days. But I was like, let's walk. Let's do this. And so I walked to my first subway. So I would have to take two trains and one bus to get to LaGuardia. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Like, I'm going to be a city girl. I'm going to do this. I'm going to save my money. And I'm only going to spend $6 on this trip to get to the airport. So I get on my first subway. And, you know, surprise, surprise, wrong one. And I started to notice that people were sleeping on the train. And I'm like, oh, we must be going somewhere really far away because everybody's on this long commute. And then I just really start to get a feeling like, oh girl, you are not in the right place. And so then I get off and I'm in a pretty dangerous part of town. And I don't know if it is dangerous, but I get a vibe. You know, there are a lot of police around and it just doesn't seem like the most friendly area. And maybe it was, I don't know. I wasn't trying to make friends because I was scared for my life because I was lost, didn't know what I was doing. And so then I'm like, you know what? I don't know how to get to the next train. Like, this is so confusing. I don't have time for this. So then I call an Uber, which ended up being way cheaper, by the way, from that station. So I guess I was a little bit close, but who knows? And so then I get an Uber and the Uber is so nice. He like asked me like, what's your favorite music? Like, what music do you listen to? And I was like, I never know how to answer that question, by the way. So I was like, oh, I like Taylor Swift. And then he played me Taylor Swift. And I was like, oh. And then This Love came on, which is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs. And whenever things like that happen, I'm like, okay, oh, breath of fresh air. Like, that's a sign something's going right. Like, something good's going to happen. Because I really did like that song. And it was stuck in my head earlier that day. So I was like, oh, what a nice little treat. So I'm in the Uber. Uber takes like 30, 45 minutes because it is rush hour in the city. So getting to the airport is genuinely a disaster. So that takes forever. And then I finally get to the airport, you know, go through security. Keep in mind, this is my first time flying alone. You know, I know how to fly with other people. That's something I'm very, very comfortable with. But flying alone is different. And so surprisingly, like, security went well, checking in went well, everything was fine. So I get there and then I'm just kind of like vibing in the airport, which is, I love an airport. Like, I absolutely love it. I love going around to little shops, looking at the bookstores, getting a little drink from a coffee shop, you know, just having a good time by myself, whatever. So I do that and I'm just kind of sitting there. And then I go on bathroom breaks just to get my body moving, walk around the airport, not get bored sitting there alone. So I do that. And then I walk out of the bathroom and I see everybody looking at the screen, and it's kind of where they have all the flights, you know, when they're arriving, all this. And so I look up and I see LaGuardia to Atlanta canceled. And keep in mind, it had been delayed a couple times, but this is after I was in the Uber. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to be at the airport for 4 hours. So I see that it's canceled and I just start to have a breakdown, you guys. I didn't start crying right away, but I was like, what on earth do I do now? Like, genuinely, what on earth do I do now? I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm a kid. And I say this all the time. I always say I'm a kid. And I know I'm 20, like, I'm grown. But I was just like, no, like, I can't do this. Like, I don't know what to do in this situation. First of all, I don't even know how to get out of this airport if I was just going to go home and cancel the flight. Second of all, I really was looking forward to going to this wedding and going home, taking a break. You know, Montgomery, Alabama is my Hamptons. Like, that's what I do. Like, I don't know anyone in the Hamptons. So that's like my trip to the Hamptons for the weekend, get out of the city for the weekend. And so I was looking forward to it because I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And then it gets canceled. And I'm just like, oh no, like, what do I do now? And so I go to the bathroom. I have a little cry break. So I cry for a couple minutes. And then I text my family and I'm like, alert, alert. Like, I don't know what to do in this situation. So then I stand in the Delta helpline. And Delta, you had me waiting for about 3.5 hours, just sitting there. Just literally sitting there. I didn't even know what to do. I was having a breakdown. And so I was like calling my parents, like sobbing. My mask was just like covered in tears. And then there was this group, like this family in front of me. And I thought they were a family because they were all talking and just, you know, talking about their flight. Like, what are we going to do now? Turns out they weren't family because one of them, the man, he turned around and he was like asking me, he's like, are you going to be okay? And I was like, you know, I hope so one day. And he was so nice. And we were just talking about, you know, the situation, how inconvenient it was. And then like, they were really nice and it was nice to have a conversation. And we were kind of talking about what we're going to do. They were flying to Michigan, I think all of them were. And that's kind of how it was, a group of four people. And I guess that's how they started talking because it was the same flight, but I was flying to Atlanta and they were trying to help me like find another flight. And they were like, okay, we can fly out of Rhode Island and then we can all go together. So it'll be, so you don't have to be alone. And it was just like, there are good people in this world. You know, they noticed that I was a 20-year-old girl alone and that I was scared and that I was crying and they offered to help me. And it was just a good reminder that not everybody's mean. You know, not everybody is in their own world. People do care and people, you know, are willing to help. So I stand in this line for like 3 hours. I finally get someone to help. So I'm talking to them and I'm like, I need the next flight out of Atlanta. And keep in mind, this is like midnight at this point. And they were like, we don't have anything. There's nothing. I'm looking up everything. There's nothing. There's no flights. You can get on a flight Saturday morning. And at that point, I was like, if I'm going to go home on Saturday and have to leave again on Sunday, it's honestly just not worth the trouble. And so I was just losing it. Like, I was crying. And the airport attendant, he was so nice. He was like, don't cry. Like, you're going to make me cry. And like, he almost started to cry, you guys, because I was crying. And then there was this lady next to him who was helping someone else. And she was like, you're going to Atlanta? And I was like, yes. And she was like, I have a flight tomorrow, but it's at night. And I was like, that's fine. That's fine. Anything before Saturday. And so then she helps me. She puts me on an overbooked plane. And so then I end up sitting in the emergency aisle. So I'm like kind of right next to the doors that will, you know, in case of an emergency, they'll come out and then whatever happens, happens. So I had to be willing and able to assist in case of an emergency. And so I'm sitting there and I'm crying. I'm talking to him. They put me on this flight. He prints me out my ticket. And I'm like, hallelujah. And then luckily they gave me vouchers to get to and from the airport. So a car that I could call. And so then I, you know, leave the airport. I call this car and I'm just like absolutely distraught at this point. I was starving. I didn't have any dinner because I was planning to get food after I went to the bathroom, but then saw that my flight was canceled. So I was like, okay, I can't do that. So I was just absolutely losing it. I was having a breakdown. I'm like, this is what it's like to grow up. Like, you're completely alone. It was up to me whether I got a flight or not. I didn't have a parent. I didn't have an older sibling to deal with the situation. It was on me. And that was kind of like a surreal moment. And it just reminded me of like, you know, I'm growing up and I have to do things myself and I have to be independent and I have to be my own advocate. And it's kind of it is exhausting. And it's kind of just like, oh, this is too much. And so I get a car home and it's 2 a.m. And so I get back to my dorm, I take a shower. And then the next day I work from home. We have summer Fridays. So I get off at 1 and then I, you know, pack up, get ready to go back to the airport for my flight at 7. And then my flight at 7 gets delayed 4 times to 10:30. And so I'm in the airport and I try to make friends at the airport and people are really nice and they'll talk to me. And so I made friends with these two guys. They were going to Nashville and they were just asking me about Nashville. And I was like, oh, it's so fun. You're going to have a great time. And they were asking me about hot chicken. Like, where should we go to get hot chicken? So I was like, oh, you should go to Hattie B's. And I just had a really good conversation with them. And then one of the guys was asking me what I do. And I was like, oh, I'm an intern in New York this summer. And we were just talking about New York and talking about the department stores and Bergdorf and how amazing it is. And he was like, do you want to be my personal shopper? And I was like, yes, I want to be your personal shopper. So TBD if I'm actually going to be his personal shopper. But it was just so fun. It's fun to kind of put yourself out there and talk to people that you would never have spoken to before. And you kind of have to do that, especially if you're somebody who's solo like me. most of the time now that I've moved to New York, and make yourself uncomfortable. And that whole experience was excruciating. It was so uncomfortable. And also when I was coming back, so when I got my car back to the airport that day, my Uber driver, and I guess it wasn't even Uber. He was just a driver for Delta. And we were talking, and he's from New York, and he's like, said something about my accent. I was like, oh, and then we started talking about accents. And he was like, you can tell I'm from New York. Like, I know you can hear my accent. And I was like, yeah, it's crazy that people can hear specifically where you're from. And I was telling him about my subway experiences and how crazy things have been, how many weird things have happened to me on the subway, and how, like, a lot of the times I'm just like in fear. Like, for the times that a man is like come and sat by me and then stares, like literally turns and faces me for 5 minutes, it's just so uncomfortable. And he was like, you know, what I do is I just assume the best in everyone. And I try to assume that everybody means well, and that sometimes, you know, people just want to have a conversation. And I was like, okay, fair. And I was like, and maybe that's a good thing to keep in mind going forward. And obviously, he is a man, so being a girl is different because you do have to worry about different things. But it was something, it was a good reminder, and it's something that I've kind of kept going forward, is to assume the best in people. Because when you assume the best, a lot of the times you'll get the best in people. And you'll have these moments where you have conversations with strangers, and it ends up being, you know, a bright spot in your day. And he was like, you know, see, like, we didn't talk at the beginning of this ride, and then we started talking, and do you see what a positive, fun conversation that was? And I was like, yes, that's so true. You know, I didn't talk to you in the beginning, and now we started talking, and then it was like we were having such a good conversation that I had to get up and leave to go to my terminal. And it was sad because it was like, who knew that we would have gotten along so well? And so my flight experience was an absolute disaster. I finally got back to, I landed in Atlanta, had an amazing weekend. And then I go back, same thing happens in Atlanta. In Atlanta, they mean business. Like, they're serious. Like, they get things done. The Delta line was significantly less long. So the next flight I was flying out at 9:30 and PM, and then had to get a 6 a.m. flight. So I spent the night in the airport on Sunday, and it was honestly such a vibe. Like, what was I thinking before? It was so fun. I literally sat there by myself. I journaled, I read, I watched a show, I worked, everything under the sun. And it was such a blast. Like, I genuinely had the time of my life doing that. And I met this lady, her name is Jill. She's from New Mexico. And we just had such a good conversation. She had been at the airport since 9 a.m. Sunday. And so we kind of met at like 4 a.m. and we were talking, and she was telling me that her grandmother's middle name was Francis. And I was like, oh, small world. That's so cute. And we were just having such a good conversation. And then I walked her to her terminal and then left to go to mine. And it was just those positive interactions with strangers are just something that I'll never get over about New York City. And that wasn't even in New York City, but I mean, the people that you'll meet is just crazy when you're open to it. When you don't have your AirPods in, when you're not like just so focused on yourself and your life and getting to where you need to go, when you open your eyes and you listen and you actively try to speak to people, it's life-giving. It really is. And it's crazy that every single person you meet has a different perspective than you. And every single person you meet has something to teach you or knows something that you don't or has an experience that you don't have. And it's so positive. And I ended up getting on my flight back to New York City, landed at 8 on the dot, leave, get an Uber. I'm back in my dorm room at 8:50. And then I typically work from home on Mondays. It just kind of depends on the week. So I'm clocked in working at 9 o'clock on the dot. And so then I worked all day, and obviously I was exhausted. Like, I was losing it because I didn't sleep the night before. I tried to sleep in the airport, you guys. It just wasn't happening for me. I'm not somebody that can just fall asleep wherever I go. Like, I have to be comfortable. So I didn't sleep there. So I slept on Monday, and then we're back to business in the office on Tuesday. And it's just been so hectic. But something that Jill said that really stuck with me, she was like, you know, it's just, I've seen people just acting so crazy in the airport when their flight gets canceled or delayed. they just start losing it. She said that she saw a man at the Delta help desk and he had a phone because they're little phone stations, so you can call someone to help you. And he just was banging it on the wall. And she was like, you know, children are acting like adults. I mean, adults are acting like children. And it's so crazy how upset we get when our little human plans don't end up working out and things get canceled. She said, we have an idea of how things are supposed to happen for us. You know, I'm supposed to get on this flight here at this time. I'm supposed to land here at this time. And then when those don't happen, when those things get jumbled or messed up, we just get into a frenzy. But it's a great reminder that everything, a lot of things, not everything, but a lot of things are out of our control. And you kind of just have to see the positive. And you kind of have to remember everyone is going to have inconveniences. You're going to be slapped in the face with inconveniences and setbacks and cancellations and delays. But it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it, how you let it affect you. And when my flight like that got canceled, I was sitting in the airport overnight. I was just sitting there like genuinely having fun with myself and enjoying the peace and quiet of an airport. Atlanta is one of the busiest airports in America, if not the busiest. And I was sitting there in complete quiet. There were maybe like 5 people in my terminal. And it was so refreshing. Honestly, it was like surreal to see this place empty because I'm so used to airports being so busy and crazy and everybody's running, jogging, you know, pushing people out of the way to get to their gate. And it was so quiet. And it was like, oh, this is so nice. And I chose to see that as a positive thing. And I was like, you know, this is such a crazy story. You know, one day I'm going to look back and laugh at this. And I do. I think of that day fondly. It was something that it was refreshing and it gave me excitement to get back to New York. I was so excited to start my week at work again. And traveling right now is just insane. If you're traveling, I'm sending good vibes. I hope your flight doesn't get canceled or delayed, but it might. But no hate to Delta, surprisingly. I love flying Delta. Usually I fly American, but I got a last minute ticket, so we had to switch things up. But it was a positive experience. And I got Wi-Fi on my first flight because I was watching The Summer I Turned Pretty, which, by the way, amazing. Absolutely loved it. I read the books in middle school, so I just ate every minute of that up. I loved the show. So, you know, choose to see things positively. Choose to like let those annoying inconveniences be a gate to something better. And, you know, see things not as they are, but what they could be. And I always say that, but I think it's so important to not let these bumps and jumps in your schedule ruin your day, because it did on Thursday. I was losing my mind. I literally thought I was having a mental breakdown. I was having like a selfie crying photo shoot in the bathroom because I looked insane. But the next day, it was arguably even more inconvenient because, you know, I had to sleep at the airport. Hello, that's not a vibe. But I saw it as something positive. There wasn't 1 minute where I was like, oh, this sucks. This is terrible. I genuinely enjoyed myself. And that's a good reminder for New York City. It's going to be insane. Like, you're going to be alone. You're going to be by yourself. You're going to be talked to by people that might not be in their right minds. You're going to be followed a couple blocks. You're going to be scared, but you're also going to be so happy. You're going to be experiencing the most insane things. You're going to see things that you've never seen before and do things that you've never done before. And the other day we had a guest speaker in my internship, and he was talking about if you want to experience different things, you have to take risks. And moving to New York City has been the biggest risk I've ever taken in my entire life. This is just so different than anything I've ever known. I'm alone. There's so many things that have happened that would, for most people, just be like, oh no, like I'm not doing this. I can't live here. But I've chosen to see it as like, I'm growing up, I'm getting older, I'm learning how to navigate the world on my own. And I'm 20 and I'm in New York City and I'm getting on the train, I'm going to work and I'm doing that. And I'm proud of myself for that. I'm proud of myself for making myself uncomfortable. And I kind of learned over and over again. It's something that my mom's always said, that I've always said, is that closed mouths don't get fed. And they don't. New York has been the biggest reminder that you can't sit around at home and be miserable or be sad or be like, oh, this is just any sort of situation that you're in. You can't complain about your life if you're not doing anything to change it, if you're not opening your mouth and asking for something. And I kind of like to think about it as like you're going to a restaurant. Say you're going to a restaurant and you are standing at the counter or you're sitting at the table, whatever, and you don't order anything. They're asking you like, what do you want? What would you like? And you don't say anything, but you expect food to come to the table. And when everybody else has their food, you're sitting there hungry, mad, not at yourself, but at the restaurant. You're mad at the restaurant because they didn't give you any food, but you never asked for it. And that's something that I'm trying to remind myself. And, you know, I'll literally walk up to people at a different desk than me and start a conversation, because I'm not the queen of England. People aren't just going to come up to me and want to be my friend. You have to take things, you have to take initiative and work in life. You have to message people. You have to be so uncomfortable. You have to have that feeling of like, oh my God, am I weird? Are they going to think I'm weird? Who cares? Who cares if they think you're weird? Like, what's going to happen? And that's kind of like what I like to think about. What is the worst that could happen? No is the worst. That's all they're going to say is no. Or, you know, you might not hit it off. But think about things, especially when if you're moving to a new city, making friends. Here's what I like to think about. Yeah, they might not like you, but you also might not like them. Not everyone is meant to be friends with everyone. That's just a fact of life. That's how things are. And that's not devastating. That's not the end of the world. Moving, what my mom said on the phone the other day, she was like, you just got to roll the dice. You just never know when you're going to have a lucky roll, when you're going to, you know, hit the jackpot, when it's going to be the perfect roll. You just never know. But you can't know until you do it again and again and again. And you can't get discouraged when you come up with nothing. Because how I like to see it is, it's just one less roll until I hit it big. And whether that's with friends or with work, you know, it's one more roll. Good for you for trying. Good for you for putting yourself out there. There's no negative to putting yourself out there and making yourself uncomfortable, because who cares if people think I'm weird? Who cares if people think that, you know, you're crazy or you're too forward or you're strange? Okay, maybe I am. And what's wrong with that? It makes things more fun. But you can't sit around waiting on an invitation or waiting on something cool to happen to you. Things don't fall out of the sky. And sometimes they do, but most of the time things don't fall out of the sky. Magical things aren't going to happen to you from your room or from sitting in your corner in your office and staying there and wishing that something great would happen to you. You have to be the something great. You have to show up as yourself and bring yourself to every conversation, to every interaction, to everything you do. And spending time alone is amazing. Don't get me wrong. But there's so much more that can be learned when you force yourself to interact with other people, have a crazy conversation at the airport with somebody that you're never going to see again, and leave it feeling positive and feeling refreshed and feeling changed, and do that with everyone. And New York has kind of just been this constant state of getting out of your comfort zone and being uncomfortable and doing things that I never would have done before or never felt comfortable doing before. And so it's kind of just been a constant state of shock and getting used to that. But it's been so refreshing, like honestly, to be in a city where literally nobody cares who you are. I think especially our generation has this idea that everybody's watching us, everybody's looking at us, everybody cares what we're doing. When in reality, especially when you get to New York City, you know, you're someone, but you're not everyone, and you're not that important. And literally, I mean, you could do cartwheels across 34th Street and no one would blink an eye. It wouldn't even be the craziest thing they saw that hour, let alone that day. So that's been an amazing aspect. And the culture here, the fact that there are just so many different people that I'll cross, you know, on the subway or on my walk and I'll see. And it's like, you know, that everyone here is just so independent and they have dreams and they have goals, they have things to do. And so it really has been great that I haven't lost this magical feeling. I remember driving back into New York City from LaGuardia and just looking at the skyline and being like, this is never something that's going to be normal to me. This is never something that's going to be as normal for me to look at as my drive back home into Alabama. It's just surreal. It's magical. It really is magical. And I was talking to my friend on the phone and I kind of realized that New York City, visiting it, it's, I mean, like I said before, it's so different than living here, but visiting it is Disney World. It's kind of like Disney World. You know, everything's magical. There are fireworks, there are shooting stars. You see Cinderella, you see Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse. And I mean, it's just this incredible, elaborate show and creation. And you almost feel like you're in a parallel universe. And living here is kind of like Universal. And Universal's great. Universal's so much fun. There's so many things to do. But there's less of the magical aspect that is Disney World. It's not all sunshine and roses. You know, you're not getting your little book signed by Cinderella. You're not getting a ride on the merry-go-round. You're not seeing the fireworks over Cinderella's castle. It's more of like real life. And it's more of the truth. It's just what it's like living in a place is so different than visiting it. It's not vacation. This is my home. This is where I live. This is where I go to work. And the first couple weeks, it was almost like seeing Mickey Mouse with his head off. And you realize, oh my gosh, it's just a man under that suit. It's not this character that I've seen in these movies and fallen in love with. It's literally just a man in a suit. And who cares if it's a man in a suit? It's still incredible. It's still Mickey Mouse. But it's not this made up, elaborate fantasy dream world where nothing goes wrong and everything's perfect and this visionary experience. It's not this incredible show put on. It's not something that you've seen in the movies. It's not like the movies, newsflash. So much of it is, but a lot of it isn't. There's still going to be the humps and bumps in the road and the things that come with living anywhere. If you hate your hometown, you know, New York's not going to be too different from your hometown. If you can't figure it out there, how to enjoy it there, you're probably not going to figure out how to enjoy it here. And that's been such a great lesson, is to recognize that there's so many magical aspects of this place. But at the end of the day, it is just a place. And you're going to deal with the same things here, and probably on a grander scale here, as the things you deal with at home. And you're going to be so uncomfortable. And you're going to see a lot of crazy things, but you're also going to see a lot of beautiful things. And your jaw is going to hit the floor every time. When I look outside my office building and I see the Empire State Building, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this can't be real. So I'm in a constant state of pinching myself, of being like, there's no way that I'm here right now. This is something that I've kind of envisioned my entire life, and it's true. And I don't know if that's something that just comes with getting here and living here. Maybe in the first couple months, I'll still feel that way. But I genuinely, honestly think that I will always be in this state of how lucky am I to live in New York City? You know, if you live in New York City, you know this. You know that it just doesn't go away, that there's an energy here that's unlike anywhere else. And as soon as I landed in Alabama, or in Atlanta, but then drove to Alabama, I almost felt like, yes, I'm home in a sense, but now part of me is somewhere else. There's home somewhere else too. And so I genuinely did feel like when I got back to New York that I was coming home. And that was a great feeling. Like I got here and I was home and it felt like home. And it felt like when I left that I left a piece of me back in New York City. And I don't know if that'll ever go away. I've learned so much here. I've grown up so much here. And I'm acting like I've been here 2 years. I've literally only been here 3 weeks. But that just shows you the fast pace that is here, that lives here. Everything's go, go, go. And I'd say everything here is three times the level it is anywhere else. And I've kind of become an adult. I've learned so much about myself and about the world and about other people in such a short amount of time. But it's really been such a beautiful, positive experience. And it's something that I know when I leave in August that I'm going to be heartbroken because a piece of me will be left here. Because it's such a special place. There really is nothing in life, no experience, no place that is great, that is as great as New York. And if you visited, if you've lived here, you know. I mean, maybe you don't like New York, and a lot of people don't. But you can recognize that this is the greatest city in the world in one way or the other. Anything can happen here. Anyone can be anyone here. And I love that. I absolutely love it. And something that I'm trying to remind myself is that if this was easy, if moving to New York was easy, if transitioning into this insane life that I've never lived before and meeting these people I've never met before, if that was so easy, then everybody would do it. You know, everybody would pack up and move across the country. They don't. And I see why they don't. It's insanely difficult. But it's like you have to be uncomfortable to be comfortable. And I'm in that state right now where I feel like I belong here. And I feel like I have people I could reach out to. And I have these amazing friends that I've met. And I have an office to go to. And I'm kind of in that state of like, this is home. This is where I'm meant to be. And you need to know that no feeling lasts forever, especially being uncomfortable. It goes away reasonably quickly, and it might not, and that's okay too. But know that each minute that you're uncomfortable, you're closer to being comfortable. And it's just been such an eye-opening experience here. And I encourage everyone to visit New York City at least once. And if you have visited, try living here. Try being here for 2 weeks. Do something. Be here. Because I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. You will never learn more in your entire life than you will in the very heart of it, New York, New York. And, you know, getting up and going to work every day, being in the office, like working doesn't feel like a job. And I think that's kind of the overwhelming part, is that it does not feel like work at all. And it's kind of a sign like, oh, I'm in the right place. I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing because I genuinely enjoy it so much. And I could sometimes, I'll look at the clock and 3 hours has passed and I haven't even noticed because I'm just so obsessed with what I'm doing. And that's powerful and that's fun and that's so exciting. And in one of our meetings the other day, this man said that, you know, intellect gets you halfway there, but passion is what makes you stand out. So if you're not passionate about this, you're in the wrong place. And I was just reminded, like, this is my passion. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I was born to do. And that's what gets me through. That's what makes this worth it. The changes, the scary parts, the crawling out of my skin uncomfortableness that I felt in the past 3 weeks all comes down to the fact that I'm passionate about what I'm doing and I'm meant to be here. And I'm so excited about what's to come, because if I've learned this much in 3 weeks, God only knows what I'm going to learn in the next 5. So I cannot wait to update you guys next week on life in the city. And I really hope you haven't gotten sick of hearing me talk about it, but I have so much to say. I have so many things that have happened here and I can't wait to keep you guys updated. And I look forward to talking to you next week. And I hope everyone has the most amazing weekend. And I wish you the absolute best. And I encourage everyone, talk to someone new today. If you go get dinner, have conversation with your waitress or your waiter or the people at the table next to you. It's so much fun. And you'll never learn more in your entire life than in those itty bitty minute long conversations. So everyone have an amazing weekend and I'll see you soon. Bye.